Hello and welcome to the Pinstripe Valley podcast, post-trop edition. I would say hooray, but I don't know if trop ever really encourages a hooray, especially with the series that was as weird as that one. I'm with Kunshaw, so how's it going?
I'm finding light in the darkness, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't think anyone got hurt at the trop that we know of, so.
Right, and they won a whole two games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I set the bar very low, and they did barely manage to cross it.
Yeah, well, I mean, on our last podcast, you at one point you said, they can get swept, just come out of there.
Yeah, so splitting the series, good, but the fact that they just barely, I guess the first game wasn't barely, but after that, it was kind of like all nail biters and annoyingness from the offense.
Yeah, and honestly, even in the first game, it was pretty quiet until very late when the Rays started playing some very choppy defense in the eighth and ninth. And that was when the Yankees were able to expand their lead up to 7-0, and then they won 7-2 after Wandy Peralta did some so-so relief for Nestor.
Yeah. I think I'm also just kind of, I think it's happened a few times where the offense has been like quiet for like six innings and then 7, 8, 9, they just kind of wake up. So like, I'm a little bit used to that. So that's kind of been a pattern of so far this year. So I'll just give them a little bit of a pass for that, as annoying as it is.
But yeah. And the problem, it was that even though the Yankees starting pitching was the story of the series, the Rays starting pitching did a pretty good job too. They just sort of flipped the script a little bit in the second two games. They slightly outpitched the Yankees starters, and that was just right. Enough.
Well, it doesn't happen that our number five starter Gerrit Cole was going on the third game, so that was it's just downhill from there.
Yeah, that's the game you give him the start. Like, well, we'll see what happens. It's like when they started AJ Burnett in the 2011 division series with the season on the line. They're like, well, we don't really have anything better, so maybe you can do it.
I guess this is fine. Yeah. That's Gerrit Cole for you guys.
Yeah, this is a very fair comparison that we're making right now.
Well, maybe if Billy Crystal hadn't ruined his season.
Yeah. Was Billy Crystal like lurking outside the trop or something? Is he walking up on the catwalks and like catcalling him or something?
No, like, it would be funny if like the other teams just started like playing like Billy Crystal jokes when Gerrit Cole was pitching.
Yeah, honestly, well, if they ever went to the Braves ballpark, what would happen is that the organist would probably just play songs by Billy Joel when he like comes out to pitch, because he just trolls batters all the time with that sort of stuff.
That's fair.
Yeah. But Gerrit Cole struck out a whole bunch of batters, and he only allowed the one run, but it was just unfortunate because the Yankees did not really score in that one.
Right. Yeah. The pitching was very good for the whole series. Yeah, maybe they could ever have been ever so slightly better, but you know, you're really asking, there's not really much more you can ask for from them. The offense just got to score.
Yeah. It's frustrating when, you know, you see some bullpen moves that maybe you wouldn't have made. Maybe you want to have someone else pitching or someone else hooked a little bit sooner, but you know, I'm not going to quibble too much with the Aaron Boone second guessing game, even though you can make it. But I'm not going to quibble too much here, just because the offense has to do a lot better than what they did. And they stranded a whole bunch of runners in scoring position. It was very 2021, honestly, what was going on, because they were hitting some home runs, but then they weren't really getting situational hits. That was frustrating. Like, and there was like the one game where they got like a sacrifice fly in the first inning, and then they're like, all right, we're going to call it there, since we got one situational hit just to shut you people up.
We did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was only one real move that I kind of just questioned, and that was in the last game when Marinaccio came in relief of Severino. But again, when he came in relief of Severino, the Yankees were still down 2-1, mm-hmm. and Marinaccio walked in a run and hit a batter to walk in to basically allow another run. So when at the end of it, it was 4-1, but that doesn't really change anything besides the fact that you just scored one run up until that point, and then Judge had solo homer for I think his 18th of the year to make it 4-2 as the final. But yeah, again, that was like the only move where I was just like, okay, that's an interesting choice here going to Marinaccio, but whatever. Overall, it was still, again, the rotation gave Aaron Boone pretty much no decisions to make, because Nestor and Tyone went 8 innings back to back.
Man, that was,
and then sure,
I was like, what year is this? Just seeing starting pitchers go 8 innings in back to back games. And you know, I think honestly, if Tyone had like a 4-0 lead or 5-0, he might have been given that same shot at Nestor at going for the shutout, right, just because his pitch count was also in really good shape. But, you know, since it was 2-0, they're like, let's just tie it down, go to Holmes and make it easy. And it's like, yeah,
go for the kill shot.
Yeah, I guess when you have a chance to use a pitcher with an ERA plus over 1,000, then you do that.
Yeah, because I remember asking that question last week, can it go over 1,000? And in my notes, I have to answer my question from last week, ERA plus can go over 1,000 as his ERA plus is 1,044.
Yeah, it's a whole nother level. And I realize we're tangenting a little bit away from the offense and starting rotation a bit, but it's okay when you have stuff going on like this, just because you don't really see ERA plus is that high, even when ERAs are pretty low. Like when Zach Britton had that incredible season with the Orioles, when he saved every game, was unhittable, his ERA was 0.54 and his ERA plus 803. And ERA plus can be a weird statistic because it's like playing around with like the numerator and the denominator and like weird little other qualifiers with like league average and stuff. But still, it's to see it go that high is pretty absurd, even if it's only over the first 2 months, and maybe theoretically he will allow another run at some point, but for now,
never for the rest of his life.
Okay, yeah, I hope not.
he's allowed his last run.
Yeah, again, he decided on opening day, he's like, all right, you get one, you get it now, enjoy.
It's basically like my whole theory for whenever I predict the Yankees record and I say they're gonna go 161-1. It's because I always predict they're going to lose opening day and then just never lose again. So
yeah.
Same concept from Clay Holmes.
Yeah. So,
and Clay Holmes. And if we care about ERA minus instead, his ERA minus is a 10.
Nah. Well, that'll do. Yeah, that one, it's like the closer you get to zero, then yeah, all right, cool. I hope it gets to like, once he has a ERA minus of 3 or whatever.
Yeah. I want it to go single digits. I just want it to be a 1.
Yeah, well, that's like, I know that Matt F has talked about this a lot. But anytime that you see a hitter with like an OPS plus of like 0, 1, or 2, it's pretty hilarious, just because it's even funnier than when it's like negative 20, just because like, oh, I got almost exactly 0.
Yes.
Like there was 1 year, I think, when Zoilo Almonte was 1 or something.
Oh man, I have not thought about the mask of Zoilo in a long time.
Just a true Yankees legend, still slugging out there for Sultanes de Monterrey in the Mexican League.
If you say so.
Yeah, at least according to Wikipedia, and I think Baseball Reference too. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Tangenting off of Zoilo, one of the problems with having to go to Marinaccio in that instance the other day is that the Yankees bullpen is now a little bit weaker, and they can't really use Holmes just whenever they want to put out fires anymore. I mean, they can, but they weren't going to do that in that situation when they were trailing. So you have to have other performers step up while, you know, Green's out for Tommy John surgery. The Weiska and Chapman are on the shelf for who knows how long. You got to have some of these other guys step up, whether that's a Lickey or a Peralta or a Marinaccio or Michael King, who has faltered a little bit. In his most recent outing, I think he was giving up some like weak contact that led to runs. That was unfortunate, but he has to pitch a little bit better in June than he did in May. So Boone's going to be looking for some of these guys to step up a little bit more.
Yeah, Michael King, I'm going to give you a challenge of reappearing on the Baseball Reference Top 12 leaderboard.
And so it has been issued.
It has been issued.
Someone let him know.
Yes. But he's listening, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, no one has to let him know. He knows.
He knows.
He's got the direct feed. He's tapped in.
He gets his podcast notification right away. All right, Kunj is back.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Here we go. Oh, no, I've been called out.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. So the bullpen is holding out for a hero beyond Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes can't do it all, and he needs a little help out there. Hopefully someone can send him a life raft of some sort. It's not like we shouldn't make it out like this is the Phillies bullpen or anything. This is a team that could still probably hold its own with the bullpen against most teams. I think the Rays are also a tough opponent. They have great offense. That didn't help, but they'll figure it out. The more important thing right now for the Yankees is getting their offense going, because all of a sudden, sort of like the bullpen, the effects of these injuries have really taken a toll on them. Like Stanton and Donaldson are two of the top four hitters for them by OPS plus on the season, and they're both out of the lineup. And then all of a sudden you have Miguel Andujar hitting fifth after he was not on the roster for most of April. It's like, huh, right. Well, that's bad.
Yeah. Do better.
Yeah. It's pretty frustrating.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, Miguel Andujar, and like, he's probably not the guy to pick on here just because like he didn't ask.
Oh,
this.
No, I meant just as a whole.
No. I'm more talking from like my point of view, because I've never really been super charitable Andujar post 2018. And I feel like there's this conception of him like, oh, well, you know, he can hit. Just give him time. Maybe that's an effect of me having to listen to too much Sterling and Waldman over the weekend. But I think yes, sometimes falls into this. But there's like this perception of Miguel Andujar that like, oh, you know, he can hit, but you don't really know that post 2018, and he's hitting.
He hit once. That was about it. Since then, he hasn't really done much. Granted, there's been injuries and all that, but like he's had some opportunities and again hasn't done much, so
yeah. And he's, I would say he hasn't been like terrible, but he's, it's the hits are more memorable, I think, than when all the other plate appearances are considered, when he's just like swinging at bad pitches or like grounding out or something. He'll like a fun sharp opposite field single and be like, oh yeah, Andujar can hit it all over the park, but you know, that's not really enough, and he's not the guy that does that enough to be effective.
Yeah, like you said, he hasn't been like completely like awful at the plate, but he's just been nowhere near what he was in 2018, and hasn't really approached that since then.
No, and like we're
on year four.
He did get time actually last year that I think people sometimes forget, when you know the Yankees were going through similar injury problems or searching for some kind of offense. They had Andujar. He was playing regularly for like 2 months, and no, 2 months is not like a full season's worth of games, but he did not do much in that time. And I'm sorry, but right, like when you're on the Yankees, you're not going to have that long leash when you haven't really proven anything since 2018.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, another guy who is suddenly in the lineup now a lot too is Matt Carpenter.
And his mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Nestor just hanging out, figuring out how to save Princess Peach.
Yes. Yeah, that was a great screenshot by whoever was tweeting that day.
Yeah, that was Matt F. Not surprising.
Okay. Yeah, not surprising at all.
Yeah. But it's with the Carpenter thing, and I wrote about this when it happened. It was kind of a weird signing, but it makes sense when you realize, okay, well, they want someone that they can let go pretty easily if, you know, Stanton comes back or Donaldson comes back, maybe, or maybe even just one, then they can cut ties pretty quickly. And then they don't have to deal with calling up someone from AAA to sort of half sit on the bench, half appear in the lineup, get some inconsistent time. Here they can just, you know, try Matt Carpenter, see if that revamped swing that he worked on in the offseason with Joey Votto and Matt Holliday is worth anything. We did see he got a home run over the weekend, some good at-bats in there. But if that's, you know, that may be all his contribution ends up being. But, you know, might as well take a flyer on him in this situation, just because you don't have anyone that's really locking down at-bats on an everyday basis outside of, like, your Judge and your Gleyber Torres and Rizzo, and Rizzo's really only in there every day because he's the first baseman. So,
right. I don't understand the people who get mad at like random midseason pickup signings. Just like, all right, you got to realize what the Yankee situation are. They are a living, breathing body. His mustache might be able to power him like Nestor's mustache powered him. You just give it a shot. And like you said, like at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, just whatever, toss him to, like, you know, cut him and, you know, you cut your losses. That's it. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you can catch fire with these. You can catch lightning in a bottle with these signings. Like, that'll happen from time to time. And if it's worth the shot in the dark, maybe it'll work out. And if not, who cares? It's just Matt Carpenter. Yeah. And he's really doing is taking at-bats from, like, maybe an Esteban Floreal, maybe, like, a Derek Dietrich, who could have gotten a shot from AAA. But are you really going to have that much more confidence in a Derek Dietrich than a Matt Carpenter? No. Oswald Peraza is not hitting yet. He wasn't going to be a possibility. So it's a tough situation, and it's just like, yeah, sure, Matt Carpenter, go nuts. And that probably won't lead to anything. So enjoy the Matt Carpenter era while it lasts, folks.
Right. And like at worst, yeah, you just let him go. At best, maybe he makes it a difficult conversation for when, like you said, Stanton and Donaldson are ready to come back. Like, oh, do we really let him go? Because he's actually been good.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Can we afford to lose Lyle Overbay?
Yeah, right.
I don't think we're going to be quite back in 2013.
I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as stick my hard return right field because we need his bat.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they're trying to convince Matt Carpenter to learn how to catch. It's like, wait a minute.
Hey, maybe you could back up Trevino.
Hey, I saw the other day that Rougned Odor was like warming up a catcher in the ninth inning for the Orioles. Or warming up.
Really?
He had the catcher's gear on. He was warming up a pitcher. And so I have to assume then that he's the emergency backup catcher.
I do remember that actually being a thing, I think, when he was with the Yankees as well, like last year, where like it had come up as a conversation, and like somebody somewhere had mentioned that like Odor might actually be the backup emergency catcher.
Yeah. I think it was Brian Hoke actually, but
yeah. So as amusing as it is, I guess it makes sense for him to continue that role wherever he is.
Yeah. And hey, shout out to the Orioles for taking 3 out of 5 from the Red Sox over the weekend. That was nice of them.
Yeah, I will gladly accept that.
Yeah, because the Red Sox were starting to catch fire a little bit, and Trevor Story woke up, so that didn't help. But fortunately, the Red Sox lost 3 out of 5 to the Orioles at Fenway, so thanks. Yay, Baltimore.
That story came to a close, is what you're saying. That tale has ended.
Yes.
I'm over it. I'm done.
So that's what's going on with the Yankees right now. Thanks you to Aaron Judge for still hitting home runs. That is much appreciated. He's up to 18 already, and May is only ending today. So in my book, 18 home runs in 2 months is pretty good.
But do better.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get to 74, as Kunja's prophesied. Yes.
If you just hit more home runs at a faster pace, you will get to 74.
Yeah, it's that easy. It's just math, man.
Just do it. Just do it, Judge.
Yeah. And Glaber got some home runs over the weekend. He's doing okay still. He's already tied his 2021 home run total.
Yeah, I feel much better about Glaber Torres this year than I have in the last couple of years. So
yeah, and I don't think it's crazy to say that probably the shortstop troubles were getting in his head a little bit last year, and I think that's just rational for it to happen, because if you're struggling in your job in one aspect, then it's going to start trickling into other parts. Will just naturally happen for so many people, and I think that happened to Glaber a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's no definitive way of us knowing, obviously we're just speculating, but it does seem like it. So he feels good at second base, like, and the thing is, like, his defense still isn't great, but
it's smoother.
We're just not talking about it anymore. It's a little bit smoother. It's definitely better than it was at short, but also his bat has come alive, and that's kind of what we were hoping for from when they moved him to shortstop, was that his bat would, you know, outweigh his, you know, not great defense, and it didn't do it there, but it's done it at second base, so we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's got the comfort level going on again. You see fewer plays at second base than shortstop, and he'll make the plays that he needs to make. So generally, Glaber,
we'll take it. Glaber good again.
Yes. No, who is not good though, Joey Gallo. It is a rough go of it for Mr. Gallo right now, and Aaron Hicks, but that is far from news at this point. But Joey Gallo, and I know he's, you know, he had the bout with COVID too. That didn't help either, I'm sure. He's still probably, like, you know, getting back to like the rhythm of things, but he was not hitting before then. He's continued to not hit. His at bats just like bad, swinging through very hittable pitches that are like flat fastballs that don't have a lot of movements, as Josh has pointed out. It's just tough to see this is what he's become right now, and I don't know the path out of it, because he's going to keep getting time right now because they don't have Giancarlo Stanton back yet, so he's going to keep getting that playing time, and so it just sucks. Yeah. He's batting ninth. That's just weird. And sucks.
He's batting ninth now.
Yeah. He's batting behind Trevino and Higashioka.
Right. Exactly. It's not like some weird like strategy, like, oh, let's get an extra leadoff man by batting him ninth. No, no, no. It's just
I think Boone has tried to spin it like that. Like, I value the number nine hitter. I think that was a quote. It's like, okay, man, but that's,
yeah, I'm sure Boone's gonna do that because he's not gonna throw anybody under the bus. Like,
yeah, he's like, well, not, so. This guy sucks, so what do you want?
Yeah. Well, actually, he's been bad. Have you seen his numbers?
Yeah, it's a rough go of it. He and Hicks have like almost identical numbers right now, but like in different ways, because Gallo is at a 67 OPS plus and Hicks is at a 68. So it's some rough stuff. And the only difference is that Gallo has popped some more home runs. But
and apparently that's led for a worse OPS.
Yeah. Well, when you're hitting 167, then your walks can only take you so far.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's brutal. I mean, even this series, he had two singles in this series, which were just like whatever, but like obviously no extra bases, no walks, seven strikeouts. Like, oof.
Yeah, it's the worst of Joey Gallo that we're seeing right now. And he's just going to keep getting time. And so is Hicks right now, because they don't have Stanton back. So maybe that'll change once he is back in there. And I presume Andujar might not play as much, but I don't know if like you're going to start Andujar over like a Gallo or a Hicks, or if that even makes sense. But it's, you do have no confidence in their at bats and they're coming up to hit. And that just hurts when you have key situations in a game. It's like, oh no, these guys are batting.
Right. And like this is what we were afraid of coming into the season with. Like, these two, like, kind of like, we were a little bit more optimistic about Gallo, I think. But we were also a little optimistic about Hicks, but we were cautiously optimistic on both, in the sense that we don't know what's going to happen, what they're going to provide, because, you know, we haven't seen much goodness from them in, you know, recent memory. And like, they were able to kind of like float along earlier in the season when like the rest of the team was producing and like, you know, you had a full healthy lineup, and it's just like, all right, whatever. Like, we talked about how, you know, this offense can afford one or two black holes, or, you know, people having off nights because, you know, just kind of shuffles around. But now you're at a point where you're just, again, like last year, just depending on Judge, and I guess instead of Giancarlo, right now it's Glaber, and the weaknesses are exposing themselves. And right now, Joey Gallo and Aaron Hicks both just look rough.
Yeah, like, they've been rough for most of the season, but as you said, when other guys are hitting, you don't notice it as much. But then once an Anthony Rizzo stops hitting, once a DJ LeMahieu kind of gets back closer to league average than what he was doing in April, then they shine out even more. And it's like, oh God, this is bad. And
yeah, it's tough. And it's like, and you give Anthony Rizzo and DJ a little bit of, like, you know, goodwill because they actually showed some sort of life this season. You know, Anthony Rizzo's at double-digit home runs, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, he's definitely over 10. And DJ, you know, was hitting well and back, like, looking like his former self. So you give him a little bit of slack, and that's why you kind of focus in on a Gallo or a Hicks, because it's like, all right, what have you done for me? Not just lately, but at all this year.
Yeah, I think, like, Hicks had... I remember he had like one hot week, I think, toward the end of April, because yeah. I remember we talked about him on the podcast. But
yeah, we're like, oh, he's coming alive. And then he didn't.
And then he stopped. So, and yeah, his at bats have looked rough too. I will say that he did start to hit the ball a little bit harder on Sunday. He had some unfortunate, good expected batting average on some of those knocks, but they were just turned into lineouts or hard grounders. So that's unfortunate. But also, we need to see a lot more of games like that before we get any sort of, oh, maybe he's coming back around. Other than that, because he's put together some pretty bad at-bats too.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, that's definitely a positive sign. But that's like, okay, so what? Also at the same time.
Yeah. Maybe something that could happen whenever... It seems like Tim LeCastre is coming along, so maybe once he's healthy again, he'll pop into center field, take some of the pressure off Judge, because Judge has been playing... I mean, Judge is playing like a good center, I think, but I think you'd rather have him over and right, and maybe you try someone other than Hicks out there with LeCastre, but
yeah.
It's tough.
At that point, like, Judge is going to play every day. Probably makes sense to not have him play center every day.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, he's been a surprisingly good center. Maybe not surprising, but for some people. But I think he's a little bit better than I expected him to be. I didn't think he'd be bad at all. And at this point, like, LeCastre versus Hicks, like, I don't know what the difference is, except LeCastre's at least faster. So he probably plays better defense, and if he gets on base and is actually a threat.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, why not try him if you have him? And that may end up happening once he's better again. But I guess for now, we will just see what's going on with the roster at that time. So should we take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. We'll be right back after this ad break. And we're back. Before we get into our BREF update, we do have to welcome a surprising addition to Twitter. I guess Derek Jeter has decided to finally join.
Coward.
Yeah. Kunge is the only holdout, it appears.
And then there was one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess congratulations to Derek Jeter's marketing team on making that decision, or why now? Who knows? But sure. Go nuts, guy.
I guess it makes sense for him to be number two to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Derek Jeter has a Twitter now.
Okay. Yes. I forget who it was, but one of the beat writers is like, pretty cool to see this. And it said Derek Jeter, two tweets, because it was his second tweet. And he took a screenshot of it. Then. It's like, okay, whatever, man.
Oh, man. Maybe Jeter should be my man for the week.
Yeah. You're joining Twitter.
Yes, that's it. That's literally it. You escape Marlins hell, but you join Twitter. I don't know if I respect you.
Yeah, it's like, eh, I'll see. All right. Well, let's go into our BREF top 12. What do we have going on now?
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the whole list because, you know, it's been a short week, so no point in kind of just going through everything. But there's a couple highlights I will mention is that Jameson Taillon is now third on the list.
Ooh.
And last time we talked, we mentioned that four out of the five pitchers in this rotation were there. I'd like to inform you that all five of them are down there.
Jordan Montgomery has burst onto the scene. He's like, all right.
Yes.
Was Trevino there before? Am I imagining that?
Trevino was there, yes.
Yeah.
He had that good game last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then he made his way into the top 12. But I think it makes more sense to have all five Yankee starters up there for now.
Yeah. It's definitely like a good, like, that's just a testament to what, like, how good the rotation's been. Like, I don't remember when you could have said, like, all five of this rotation were in there in the top 12.
Yeah, all five in the rotation. And then also Clay Holmes and Clark Schmidt still there with his, like, six games, or I guess seven now. Yeah, seven games.
Yeah, he did pitch, I think, yesterday it was.
Yeah, he pitched over the weekend at some point. But
yeah, I think it was the finale, Sunday's game. Sunday's game. Yeah. Not yesterday, because yesterday was an off day.
Yeah.
I'm not used to these off days.
It's weird. But all five starters in there. Just Jameson Taillon going up all the way to three, though. That's pretty great. But it's indicative of how well he's played this year. Because it's like, I feel like, obviously, Nestor is the story of stories. But Jameson Taillon is, like, right behind him. It's, like, it's pretty impressive.
No, absolutely. I'm going to, spoiler warning, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in my Yankee of the Week. But yeah, I mean, Nestor, I kind of had high hopes for coming into the season because, like, I saw enough good things from him last year. Taillon was just, like, a mixed bag, so it was just – I didn't know what we were going to get. And, it's been very, very good.
Yeah, and he's been doing it without strikeouts like Nestor has been doing, but he's just been getting, like, a lot of weak contact and very stingy with his control. He's only walked five batters in 50 innings, so that's – that's doing some good work out there.
James Taillon has been good.
Yeah.
Official stance.
That's the JMO usurping his buddy Garrett Cole as the best former Pirates starter in the rotation. And actually, right now, Garrett Cole trails two former Pirates in pitcher war because Clay Holmes is also ahead.
That's Clay Holmes. Yeah. I'm not really entirely sure exactly how Clay Holmes, like, bumped down to five. I think it's probably just because of amount of innings pitched, maybe.
Yeah.
But Clay Holmes has done nothing besides be very, very good. So I don't understand how he loses spot except for, like I said, innings pitch or just time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Shout out the Pirates thing for a minute, though. Like, one of the people I follow, he's a Pirates fan. And then, like, but the game on Friday, I think, when Jameson Taillon pitched eight and then Holmes pitched ninth, he's like, I want to die. Yeah. My deepest condolences. Yeah.
At least they have Hoy Park.
Yeah.
They do have Key Brian Hayes,
who is a lot of fun to watch if you ever get a chance to check out some random defensive highlights, and that's the only reason to watch the Pirates.
It sounds about right.
Yeah. And hey, they've Ben Gamble too, I think.
Benny with the good hair.
Yeah. Shout out to a true Yankees legend. All right. We've gone off to Ben Gamble.
I was going to stop real quick. In six games with the Pirates this year, Hoy Park has a OPS plus of 59.
Well, who won the trade? Who is to say?
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, Diego Castillo was part of a winning rally against Craig Kimbrell last night when they inexplicably beat the Dodgers. So, cool.
Woo! Yeah, that's weird. But hey, sometimes things happen. Baseball's baseball.
Yeah. And the Dodgers have been, they've now usurped the Yankees for the best record in baseball, which seems about right. I mean, that's a freaking loaded team out there. So
yeah, but maybe the Yankees will step up with their upcoming schedule. I don't really think they will, but we'll see.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, they did what they're supposed to do with their schedule through the first 2 months in terms of taking advantage against some so-so opponents. So I'm glad that they did that. Now they will be tested a little bit. They got to play the Angels for three because the Angels are suddenly good now again. They got Otani.
The thing is, even when the Angels are bad, like they still play the Yankees tough. So like it's never like, the Angels are the worst team in the league. It should be easy. No. The Yankees always they always play the Yankees tough. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a challenge. But now that they're actually good, should be an interesting, fun series. I might actually be at the Wednesday game. I haven't decided yet.
Go see Michael Trout up in Riverland.
Yeah, I was a little bit hoping that Otani would pitch on Wednesday, but I guess he's slated to pitch on Thursday, and that's kind of why I'm just like, I don't know if I want to go now.
Yeah. You get to see Nestor, though, so that'll be good.
If I do go, oh, yes.
Yeah. Nestor against Reed Detmers, who is destined to be, I guess he threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's that guy.
Yeah, you threw nine innings.
Don't do it again.
But
just don't do it again on Wednesday.
Yeah, but the Angels series will be kind of annoying, I'm sure. But then they got three against the Tigers, and that's more of the, please take care of business. Don't let them get close, because the Tigers have really disappointed this season. I don't know if they had expectations to actually like win the Central, but they seem to be on like the upswing of their rebuild, but they've just taken a big old step back this year.
Yeah, I don't think it was, you were competing for the Central, because, the White Sox were still there. The Twins were probably expected to be better. So it was more just like, hey, we're going to be respectable. And No. Just no.
You know, what's kind of dire is actually their OPS plus leader among all players with 100 plate appearances is Miguel Cabrera, which, 5 years ago, sure.
But makes sense, 100%.
Yeah, but credit to Miggy, he's at a 118 for the year, which I did not expect him capable of at this point. But they've had Javi Baez is all the way down at 58. That's bad.
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah. Exactly, the fact that Javi Baez is on the team shows you how they expected to at least do something, because they were like, let's sign this guy. Let's get a big contract on here.
And they signed Eduardo Rodriguez too, and Eduardo Rodriguez has not been good. He's on the injured list now, so.
Yeah. So Yankees, take care of business against the Tigers, please and thank you.
Yeah, do not let Javi Baez heat up a little bit, because it will happen at some point, but don't let it happen against
right.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Simple. We're simple men with simple requests.
Yeah.
We don't ask for much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after the Tiger series, and they have three against the Twins up in Minnesota, that'll be a fun little series. Yeah. Get to see Gary again. He is Gary. Also Gio.
He's definitely going to homer like four times in that series.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. He will either homer four times or go like one for 15.
I think he's going to homer four times and also have like two pass balls or something like that. Yeah. Or something, one stupid thing behind the plate. Everyone's going to be like, see, I told you.
Yeah, it'll be like one pass ball, honestly. And then in the same game, Hickey will make like a catcher's interference or something.
Honestly, it wouldn't even be a pass ball. It'd be like a wild pitch, but that somehow Gary's going to get blamed for by the Yankees fans. Like, see, I told you.
Yeah, like, he's got to block that. It's like he's catching for the other team. But
hey, it'll be nice for him to reunite with some of his friends, Gio Urshela as well. And then we can just yell at the Twins for giving the Yankees Donaldson.
Yep. Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah, I like the article that came out where I forget who it was, but someone in the Twins clubhouse was like, yeah, it's just a much better vibe this year. It's like, who left?
Man, the vibes are so much better.
Yeah. They go, clearly it Josh was all Ben Werfet, right?
Bringer of bad vibes.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see Buxton in that series too. So he's going. Yeah.
And
no Correa, I think, because he's, or depends how he's doing, because he's on the COVID IL now. So we'll see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hopefully he's back by then, not because I want to face Correa, but more just, you know, for his own health. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, you always expect good things when the Yankees play the Twins, but I don't know. I always approach it with a dose of skepticism too. Like, it's going to run out at some point, right? And then like,
right. So. Hey, but maybe you won't run out at some point.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
Hey, we can dream, right? It's just forever, permanent.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're only previewing this far ahead. We obviously we're recording a little bit early this week just for our own scheduling purposes. But probably by the time we pick up again, we'll either be like in the middle of that twin series or at the end of it. So there you go.
Yeah. Probably just, yeah, that's why it's just worth it to talk about a little bit.
Yeah. And ideally, the offense will have woken up a little bit more by then. Maybe they'll have one of these guys back, like Stanton. Maybe they'll have LeCastro in there. Who knows? Maybe not that that's the same thing. But
maybe there'll be some other random pickup of somebody who hasn't been playing all year.
Yeah, it's like, wait, when did that guy show up on the team?
Michael Conforto, randomly Yankees.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, yes, of course, Michael Conforto. We always expected you. All right. Shall we wrap this thing up?
Let's do it.
All right. So we move on to the Yankee and Manfred of the week. So who you got for Yankee of the week?
So as my spoiler previously indicated, my Yankee of the week is Jameson Taillon. Obviously very, very hard to follow up Nestor Cortez in his 8 innings of what should have been no runs if it wasn't for Wandy Peralta kind of just having a shaky outing. But yeah. Very hard to follow that up. And Jameson Taillon was up to the challenge. 8 innings, 2 hits, no runs. And it's just like, it's like I said, we haven't given him enough credit for what he's done this year. Not like we've said he's been bad or anything like that. It's not like we've been bashing the guy. I don't think we've talked about him enough.
No.
And last year was very up and down. You know, he had that very good stretch, but besides that, you know, it was just kind of like, what's going on here? And he's been amazing so far. Definitely better than I expected. I didn't think he was going to be as bad as his low points last year, but I didn't think he's going to be this good either. So yeah, Jameson Taillon, Yankee of the week.
Yeah, something that is easy to forget is that, remember, he had that ankle surgery late last year after, you know, coming back to make some starts with a very injured ankle at the very end of 2021. And he was not really expected to make it back for opening day. The lockout obviously pushed that back a little bit and allowed him to start the season on time. And he hasn't missed a beat. And he's been greater. He's been even better than he was last year. So kudos to Jameson Taillon. I think, obviously, we're still like a little ways away from the All-Star game, but he would merit some serious consideration, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Nestor are going to, they're going to go 1-2 as the pitchers.
Yeah, exactly.
Nestor starting.
No Gerrit Cole, though.
Nestor starting. I've decided this.
Yeah. Hey, I mean.
The fifth best starter on the Yankees, you mean?
Yeah. Who else is going to start if it's not Nestor at this point? It's whatever. I obviously, again, lots of time to get to the All-Star game, but as of now, it's pretty great. I guess maybe Kevin Gausman if you're in that camp, but I'm not.
No, screw that. Anyway. What I think should happen is Gerrit Cole should get All-Star and Billy Crystal should throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, just, you know.
I will never let this die, by the way.
Nope.
I will never let this die.
You're keeping this going for the longest time. Yes. I guess it's Billy Joel.
It's like Billy Crystal's not Billy Joel, but sure.
I don't know why my brain went there, but we're just gonna leave that in.
You did that before too with the Braves organization. I was just kind of like, okay, sure.
Like, all right, sure, sounds good, man.
They're both Billy. Like, they're both Billy. Is that the connection? Is that why you play Billy Joel?
Yeah, I bet Gerrit Cole's least favorite character on Stranger Things is Billy the dead kid.
We're gonna move on now.
Yeah.
Your Yankee of the week.
All right.
Not Billy Joel.
No. All right. About Yankee of the week, I'm gonna keep it easy. Just go Nestor Cortez. I mean, his performance was, again, just as good as Tyone's. Don't blame him for Wandy Peralta's mistakes. He threw 8 shutout innings as well. So, Nestor, keep on keeping on. You rule.
You do your thing.
Yeah, and good luck saving the princess from the castle.
Yes.
And who you got for Manfred of the week?
We talked about him again already, but Joey Gallo, my guy. You're batting 9th, yeah. And not for good reasons. That's about it. That's all I got to say. There's not really much else. I mean, like I said, we talked about him. It's rough. It's tough. I don't know what can be done at this point to help him, but hey, hitting coach whose name I forgot because you're new. Fix him. Do it. Just do it. Dylan Lawson?
Yeah. Dylan Lawson. Yeah.
There you go. I nailed it.
Yeah. Knew it from the start. Yeah. But Esteban will actually have an article out tomorrow where he's going to sort of explore Joey Gallo's swing, see if there's anything salvageable in there from his current approach. So you will have the answers. So take notes, Joey.
Yes. Hey, Michael King, as you're listening to this, have Joey Gallo read Esteban's article tomorrow.
Michael King will read Andres and Peter on him because they have some stuff coming out today about him.
Oh, there you go. Congrats, yeah. Michael. You're getting 2.
Yeah. He's going to have a lot of reading material, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone send the PDF. Anywho,
get him the audiobook of it.
Yeah. Hey, you can translate some of these articles to like audio files now.
Yeah, no, I think every single, at least I know Pinstripe Alley, but I think every single SB Nation article you can, there's like a little button on the top.
Yeah. It's fun to hear the robot read your words sometimes.
It is.
Yeah. All right. My Manfred of the week is going to be Aaron Hicks. Again, let's not overthink this. He's got to hit a lot better, especially right now with things going on. I thought about Anthony Rizzo because Rizzo's looked really bad the past few games too, but at least Rizzo is contributing good first base defense, whereas Hicks is just not doing much out there as center, man. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not much else to say about Aaron Hicks.
There really isn't. Like both Gallo and Hicks, we've talked a lot about them earlier too. And it's just kind of just going back to the same point, like fix yourselves, please.
Yeah. It just something. Makes you sad.
Yeah. It really does. Hicks, especially because, like, you know, we've seen, like, when he came over from the Twins, like, you know, he had his he started off a little slow, but then he picked it up and, you know, he was playing very well for the Yankees. And then just between injuries and I don't know what's going on. And now it's just tough because, you know, he's signed to a contract for a few more years.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Like, no, unless somebody just wants to take him off the Yankees' hands for no reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they would, but he's at least cheap, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like his contract's not like super expensive, but he's just, they still owe him like at least $30 million through the end of 2025, I think. So we could be getting to the point where maybe like next year they think about, oh, do we just cut him with like a couple years left? But that's not going to happen right now. So
it's, no.
Yeah, they just have Aaron Hicks and hopefully he can do something again, but
would welcome that, please and thank you.
Oh boy! All right. Well, now that we're all sunny again, let's see if the Yankees can maybe come back to form against the Angels and Tigers and Twins. So, cross our fingers, hope for that. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. Follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. What's your favorite seafood?
Fish are friends, not food. I don't eat seafood.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Coward.
Ha, I win.
Well, more fish for me because they are delicious food.
Yes. And if you have any follow-up questions, tweet me at Derek Jeter.
you're back on Twitter temporarily at Derek.
Just for this week.
Yeah. Now I need to see if someone tweets at Cringe. All right. Tweets at Derek Jeter. Hey, Cringe, what's up?
Hey, Cringe, how's it going?
Yeah,
I did see somebody like reply to one of Jeter's tweets, like, "Why didn't you let A-Rod play short? What kind of captain were you?"
Oh my god! It'd be funny if he just like turns around. He's like, "Never mind."
He just deletes his Twitter. He's like, "Oh yeah, this is why I waited."
Yeah, he just Abe Simpsons.
Pretty much. Derek Jeter, if you delete your Twitter between now and the next time we record, you will be my Yankee of the week.
Yes, that's true. That's how you can restore form.
Yes.
That's enough from us. All right. We will catch you later. Go Yankees. Go baseball. Go anything else?
Go sunshine.
Go sunshine. Why not? Hey, we support sunshine. But not the Sunshine State. Sorry, Florida. Get out of here.
No.
All right.
That state can go, but the actual sunshine can stay.
There you go. All right. Bye, everyone.